You are listening to the Teen Flower Podcast, where we talk about flowers and the people who have dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. We believe that our work with flowers matters, and we're cheering each of you on. Your host today is Kelly, and her guest is Kiana Underwood. Kiana is the owner of Tulipina, an internationally renowned floral design studio that specializes in creating bespoke experiences for luxury weddings and events. Her use of unique color combinations and floral varieties draws admirers and floral designers from all over the world to her sold-out workshops. Her debut book, Color Me Floral, covers the secrets to designing show-stopping monochromatic arrangements for each season. Kiana splits her time between California and New York with her husband Nathan and their three children. In this episode, Kiana is sharing a bit about how her Persian background has influenced her life with flowers. She's walking us through the importance of working with flowers out of a place of confidence rather than a place of fear. Fear prevents you from being creative and is often supported by a set of rules you think you need to follow. Kiana is taking a stand against those rules and encouraging freedom in floral design. She's also giving some tips on how to tap into your creativity and keep things fresh. And on that note, Kelly and Kiana are chatting about exploring color, Kiana's favorite go-to flowers, and her new book. This podcast is brought to you by Teen Flower, an online support community dedicated to educating, connecting, and empowering flower lovers worldwide. We provide online classes, in-person events, and weekly free resources designed to support you in your journey with flowers. Whether you're a professional florist, flower farmer, or simply love flowers, there's space for you here. Come join the party at teenflower.org. Hey, Kiana, it is great to have you on the podcast today. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we all, of course, love your floral design work and your new book, Color Me Floral, and I'm excited to chat with you about a bunch of different topics today, but something that we love to do with all of our guests whenever we welcome them here is just to hear a little bit about your story with flowers in your own words, and maybe who has had a big influence in your life whenever it comes to flowers.
Sure. Well, I think that for me, it's not so much who as it is as it's what, and that's my culture. And with that comes my grandfather, who was a great influence as a young girl for me. I loved him so much, and I was with him a lot growing up in Iran. And Persian culture in general is a very flower-centric culture. Our Persian New Year is on the first day of spring. And so we are very much, we love flowers, whether we know it or not. It's just a part of our culture. So that's how I grew up, and I think that's what really shaped my love for flowers. My mother is the same. She loves flowers, and we've always just kind of had flowers around.
Mm. Now, did you grow up? Did you grow up overseas, or were you here in?
I was born in. Raised until the age of 15 in Tehran, Iran. And there, after that, my parents moved to, I went back and forth a little bit to Europe with my parents and Japan. But prior to that, it was pretty much Iran. And we moved to United States, San Francisco in particular, in 1990 when I was 15.
Oh, wow.
That's so interesting. Yeah, I mean, I spent my formative years in Iran, and that really actually makes me delighted as I see what teenagers are like in different parts of the world, and especially today.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about the different types of cultures that you've experienced, like their relationship with flowers and what they meant to the culture. Do you mind just to talk a little bit more about that? I feel like that's a unique quality that I don't get to chat with people about very much, but you have that interesting background.
Right. Well, for me in particular, being Persian, as I mentioned, flowers are just a big thing for us. We celebrate our New Year with spring flowers, and those are usually, we make a beautiful table for spring, sort of welcoming it, waiting for it. At summoning spring, and we have lots of bulbs that we have in our gardens. Primrose is a huge part of spring for us. And later on in the summer, every garden has geraniums in it. And I remember as a little girl with, you know, just walking around my grandpa's greenhouse and the smell of geranium leaves and clay pots. It's very much a part of my childhood memory. So, I mean, hyacinth is a big thing for us. We put it on our table, on our New Year table, and narcissus are big too, because people have them in bunches, and you'll find lots of people, just vendors on the street in the springtime, selling them on the side of the street. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then when you'd mentioned that you had spent some time in Japan, what was it like? What were flowers like in Japan?
So, I mean, Japan for me, I would have to say it's kind of, for flowers, heaven for a florist. Because, I mean, I spent time in Japan as an adult and as a florist later on. But, you know, it's funny because I didn't notice flowers in Japan up until I went back, you know, as a florist. Before that, I've always loved everything about Japan. But, you know, in the last 9 years of my career in floristry, I realized that flowers, just like everything else in Japan, are perfect. And they have such beautiful varieties. They last long. They are really attentive to how they grow their flowers. And when you're in Japan, you rarely see a flower that has, or foliage that has been imported. Almost everything is local and raised and grown by the Japanese.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. And so when you think about a ranunculus that's been grown in Japan, it's often as big as a peony. Charlotte ranunculus are from Japan, and they are amazing and so beautiful. And they are expensive, but they also last, I don't know, they last the shipping. By the time they get here, they've already been in shipping for 5 days, and they last another week after that. So they're pretty amazing.
Hmm. Have you gotten to do any projects as a florist in either your home, like in your home area, or in any of the other places that you've traveled?
No, I mean, I haven't gone back home since I moved here. So even though I've had much interest from people in Iran for me to go and teach, that's something that I hope to do in the next year or two.
Yeah.
As far as teaching in Japan, of course, yes, I taught in Japan in October of last year, and that was amazing.
What did you guys do? What kind of products were you working with, and what was the overall goal of the workshop? And who was
my there? Workshops are usually 2-day master classes, and the overall goal is just to teach and work with beautiful flowers and have everybody sort of have an experience that they wouldn't otherwise have on their own, because most people don't spend the money or have the money to acquire the types of flowers that I usually have for my workshops. So this is an opportunity to really not only just learn about design, but also just play and have abundance and variety. And that's something that you could do easily when you're in Japan.
Yeah, I love that. What types of, how would you, whenever you're thinking through teaching and doing your demos and things like that, how would you describe the type of work that you're putting together?
Well, I think that in general, as an event florist, I like to bring art into events. And when I'm teaching, that's precisely what I teach, is how to do that, how to not be yet another florist that has to abide by, you know, what are the rules inside a box? How can you think outside the box and really take a leap to, you know, not have fear in doing what you do, and not have to follow rules. I think one of the first things I tell people in my workshops is that there are no rules for the next 2 days or however long they will be spending with me, because once you let go of those rules that, you know, are pulling you back from what you might allow your creativity to make. So I think if we are limiting ourselves to rules, then oftentimes we are not being creative. And being creative is often when you create the best results.
Mm, absolutely. And I think something else that you had mentioned is so key in having amazing results with your flower work, and that is to not have fear.
Yes.
Thinking through what that actually looks like and plays out as being, I feel like, is something that's really important and worth becoming more and more aware of as we work with flowers, because fear is... it's that kind of thing that either you want to like run or you want to hide or you freeze, right. You know, those are the kind of postures that you have whenever you're operating under that. And I just feel like my favorite work that I've ever done has been the ones where I'm like singing a little song in my head to myself,
right.
Or, you know, or I'm just like smiling with myself. And I think back, I had the privilege of attending one of Kiana's workshops in New York City earlier this year. And we were creating with some really beautiful peonies and geranium foliage that had this just really pretty like red vein in it. And I don't know, there was something about like after I was properly hydrated and had a snack, and I could really sink into what was going on with the flowers. I just remember kind of having this really fun experience where I just let the song play in my head, and I thought about the garden that I had just walked through, and the scent of peonies in the air that just, I don't know if you had a chance to walk through the peony garden that day, Kiana, but it was, oh my gosh, the whole air was just completely filled with this fragrance that I will never forget. And whenever we can tap into those really happy places in our mind before we jump into creating an arrangement, I feel like it makes a completely just such a huge difference. Like if you happen to maybe be in a place in your business where you're feeling a little tired or burnout or something like that, and you've lost the music, I just would really encourage you to go there to sort of like focus into those kinds of things so that you can shed whatever it is, whether it's fear or any other number of negative emotions before you hop in to go to that next place.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Creating Inspired Designs, a fast-track online class designed to set you free in your work with flowers. Nurturing creativity in our lives is important. Designing arrangements that our clients both love and that we're excited about is important too. If you've ever experienced that tension between what you'd like to create and what your client needs, this class will help. Together, we'll go on a journey in creative expression. We'll explore our personal design philosophies, learn how to break out of creative ruts, and step out from under the weight of perfectionism. We'll cover both client and personal arrangements and learn techniques for bridging the gaps between these two types of work. If you're ready to get back to creating from a place of joy and inspiration, you can learn more at teamflower.org/online.
In your travels, I know you had mentioned, you know, whenever you were growing up at home, like with your grandpa and his garden and the geraniums and things like that, what are maybe some other, I don't know, are there some other like happy memories or moments that you had with flowers before you were even a florist that you feel like are a happy place to go to before you start designing and thinking through a job?
For me, it's just, I think one of my happy places is the San Francisco flower market. Even though I now live in New York, my own garden for starters is my happy place. But then before I had my own garden, the San Francisco flower market has always been a great source of inspiration for me, because there is so much variety. And now that I live in New York, and for me, being able to go to the market and see what I'm choosing, especially because in general, I'm not a planner. I don't just sit down and imagine what I'm going to order and, And of course, now I've had to do that since I live in New York, or I'm just generally a destination florist. So you have to do a lot of ordering for that. But I think just for me, inspiration comes from seeing and knowing, or just seeing what's available and walking through the market. So that brings a lot of, and so when I spent whatever, a month and a half in Italy doing weddings this summer. And while I wasn't able to go to the flower market because they don't really have one there, everything comes from Holland, I went to the nurseries and I was able to find a lot of beautiful things, but also find some inspiration to create.
Yeah. I think I feel like a lot of people struggle with the, if you're a spontaneous designer, which I am as well, raise your hand. It can be really hard to, it can be really hard to get into the flow or the zone of, you know, what does this project look like and all those kinds of things whenever you don't see the product in front of you right away. And to an extent, if you're doing weddings, every project that we do, there does have to be a little bit of that, planning on the front side before we can get there. But there is, like, if I don't have that one little thing from a nursery or something to get the arrangement going, it does feel very flat. Is that kind of why you feel like that the nursery is an important part of your creative process?
Well, I just think that in general, I like to have a lot of different ingredients. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a designer that, a lot of times you see designers who have 4 or 5 ingredients, and that's beautiful. But for me, I like to create with more variety. So I may not buy as much quantity, but I have a bigger variety, a larger variety of flowers. So I'll have like 10 or 12 flowers or foliage. And I think for me, it's the main reason for that is to keep inspired as I'm working. Because if you're working on an event, usually you're working 4 days before that event. And if you can keep the ingredients sort of interesting, then you'll find that not only yourself, you're more inspired to create beautifully, but the people who are working along with you, like for me, my freelancers, my team, they're often more excited about the work that they're doing when they're working with different ingredients versus if they're having to work with combo roses and eucalyptus for 4 days straight.
Mm.
So I guess that's where my desire to go and find different things in nurseries comes from.
Yeah. What other tips might you have for somebody who is wanting to just tap into creativity and, kind of keep things fresh? I feel like that's something that you're really good at.
I just think that you have to be, well, for starters, you cannot be afraid. And you can't think about what somebody else is going to think of what you're doing or what is accepted and what fits inside the box. You've got to be able to, it's just so cliche, but you have got to be able to think outside the box. And also, I think it's important to be able to reinvent yourself, because when we live in such an image-driven life these days, you know, that everybody is constantly looking at each other's work. And you can find that, you know, once you've done something, somebody else is going to go and do it too, especially if it's been popular. And so if there's one thing I've learned is to reinvent myself, because now if I've done this mandap, it's been a popular thing, someone else is going to go do that same thing. And that means that the next mandap I do needs to be a little bit more interesting than the last, or just different. So for me, that's kind of a point from where I operate. I like to be different. I like to be, I don't want to work, do the same, replicate the same thing I did before. And so to reinvent myself is for me to exist.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Bouquets and Personals online class. This comprehensive course includes over 6 hours of instruction designed to set you on your way creating beautiful, sturdy bouquets and all kinds of personal flowers with ease. Learn tried and true techniques for organic, tailored, and cascading garden style bouquets. Discover tips for creating bridal hair accessories, corsages, and boutonnieres. Practice a wide variety of ribboning techniques. Don't forget about flower girls, ring bearers, and pets. This in-depth course covers timeless designs for them all. In addition to instructional videos, this class also includes comprehensive notes detailing stem counts, costs, and supplies for each piece. You'll finish this course fully equipped with everything you need to know to make stunning bouquets and personals that the modern bride will love. Ready to jump in? You can find all the information at teamflower.org/online. Let's chat a little bit about your book, which is, you know, wildly popular, and people are so interested in all the different designs that are in there. Talk us through a little bit about what the book is and why you put it together, and maybe what are some of your favorite things about it?
So my book, I wrote this book because when I first when I decided to become a florist or just to explore the world of floristry and floral design, there was nothing out there that I could really learn from. You know, I actually looked for books to because I'm self-taught. I've never taken a class. So I looked and I really couldn't find any books that taught you how to do. You know, there are lots of beautiful books on already arranged floral design and styled in beautiful ways, but no one really wants to teach you how to do it. So I thought it would be interesting to actually do that. And then I also, I'm such a color person. I love to play with color. And so I decided that it'd be kind of cool and a challenge for myself to see what I could, you know, pick 10 colors and see what each color would look like in different seasons. And that's really how this book was born. And it's a window into my world and how I think about floral design, and essentially, you know, how I can put colors together, and in this case, monochromatic color themes. And it was amazing the variety I was able to find, whether from a nursery, from my garden, or from the grocery store and the flower market, to put this book together. And so I did that. And I'm still very critical of it because now I think, oh, well, it's not as good as it should have been because it's whatever, 2-3 years ago that I did it. And I feel like I'm better than I was then now. So I always find things to criticize, but I think that in general, it teaches you my way of doing what I do. And I'm quite transparent about my process. And it's funny because I read a review, a negative one. A lot of people like to leave negative reviews. And someone said, this book just is the same thing over and over again, same design with different color. Well, you know what? That's the whole purpose of this book, is to teach you how you can do, you know, create floral arrangements in my style, which is garden style design, in different seasons with different flowers. So I did exactly that.
Yeah, they just didn't have the right book for what they needed.
Exactly.
Oh, no, that's really fun. And I think that one of the big takeaways that I had from your class at the Botanical Garden was color. I would have, just kind of looking at the ingredients that you had selected, it's always good to experience somebody else's perspective, I feel like is so crucial. And there were some colors that, yeah, I was like, I would have never, like, on a piece of paper, like, thought that these things in my mind, like, I hadn't connected the dots in that way before. But goodness gracious, like, I was just like, this is so incredible, because I wouldn't have picked those things out before. Whenever, yeah, I was putting them together and just like seeing the way that you saw the colors and the way that you were blocking and, you know, how it all was just like flowing and singing together so beautifully. It was just really kind of an explosion for me in terms of what is possible with color.
I think the possibilities are endless. And just like a painting, you know, when you were painting, and I'm not a painter, but I just, I paint for fun for myself, and I make backdrops and things like that for myself. Well, when you're exploring that realm, there's so much to play with. So what's to stop us with flowers? Flowers have so many different shades and textures and sizes, and just, I mean, the possibilities are endless. Why not explore them instead of confine yourself to the same formula that everybody else does?
I like that idea of exploring the colors. It kind of makes me want to just like order a box of stuff that I don't know what's coming and see how it, you know, see how different things play and relate to each other, because color is one of those things that whenever you have different pieces of it, I feel like sometimes you could have the exact same flower and you could put it with this group of flower friends over here and it looks one way, and you could put it with this group over here and it kind of takes on a different role in this group over here. And you know, right. it is really interesting. What are some of your like very favorite flowers that you feel like you've got to have them? They work with like a wide variety of things.
Yeah, I mean, I love ranunculus and I love carnations. Obviously, I love all flowers and I'm happy to incorporate anything beautiful in my arrangements. But I think for me, ranunculus are huge because of their extremely amazing varieties. There are so many different kinds, so many different shades and sizes. And I think, and they're flexible in their stems, so you can play around with that. And unfortunately, this season that I worked in Europe, it was so hard to get ranunculus past May. They just say it's not available, and that's it. So my mission is to, when I go back to do my few other weddings in Lake Como, to find the person who does indeed have ranunculus so that I can have for at least a few arrangements. But yeah, I think that ranunculus and carnations are my favorite flowers too, that I must always have if I can help it.
Absolutely. Yeah, such great variety coming out with those. And at a workshop a couple of weeks ago, I sort of accidentally pulled the centers out of some of the carnations and they turned into like those beautiful Japanese ranunculus. They look so similar to that. So there's so much diversity within those flower families and so many different ways that they can go. Do you have a favorite variety in particular with the carnations? Maybe you're like top three.
I like Antigua. I like Carmel Antique. And then there's another couple of ones that are similar in those colors. I love all the new varieties that they've come up with. And there's always these, you know, something that's kind of one-off that they have. But I'd have to say Carmel Antique and Antigua is always, they're always different. I like Leje.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one too.
It's really pretty. So yeah, those are all wonderful colors, my go-to when in doubt.
Yeah. Well, tell us about something, just as we're kind of wrapping up our chat today, tell us about something that you've got going on in the future that you're excited about.
Well, there are a few things that I'm excited about in general. I'll be doing weddings here in New York and Europe and then through the end of the season. But we moved to New York about a year ago, and actually exactly a year ago, and we've been planning gardens and such, and just planting flowers, and that's something that we've continued to work on, and it's becoming more and more of a project and sort of making it into the dream that we've once had. So that's something I'm excited about.
Now, I have to ask a follow-up question, and sorry everybody if I keep you just a second longer, but I did have that written down. I wanted to know what's happening in your garden and what your dreams are and your plans are for the garden.
Well, so we've got about 9 acres and we haven't done too much with those yet, but we've only been here for a year. But we already have our front yard and side yard looks beautiful, and we've planted thousands of daffodils, we've planted those, and those came up this year that were really beautiful. So we've got lots of daffodils and iris, and we will be continuing to have more of that. I planted a bunch of my heirloom roses that I brought from California. So they're doing beautifully, and we plan to do more more delphinium, keep saying delphiniums, roses, daffodils, some other tulips, and iris. So that's the plan.
Very good. Well, and it sounds like you've got delphinium on the mind, so maybe lots of that.
It's funny because I was looking at a list of different delphiniums this morning for a wedding, which is why this keeps coming to my mind. But yeah, it's funny. I haven't really planted any delphiniums. I really should.
They are so beautiful, and I feel like the ones out of the garden are just like they're pretty from. They're just different. It's kind of like Bells of Ireland. I feel like Bells of Ireland is so incredible from the garden. And I just, you know, I love it. So even if there's a flower maybe, you know, that's out there that you've written off as being something that would be fun to use in arrangement, just try it from the garden, because it's so different. So different. The fragrances and all those things.
Yes. They have more movement. They're more delicate. Yeah. It's true. Just anything homegrown is better, I think, than mass produced. Mm-hmm.
And I think it does have that just initial like settling kind of feeling whenever you're working with it, where it's like, it's safe and it's, I don't know, just very grounding to be working with something that you were able just to cut right then and there, in a quiet moment in the morning. So yeah, that's really good. So, yeah. Well, thank you again so much for being here today. And something I like to do just before we sign off with each of our guests is to hand the microphone back over to you. Anything that you might like to say, a word of encouragement, or I don't know, just anything that you might like to share with listeners, with your flower friends all over the world today before we sign off.
Well, I think my big, it's kind of been a theme of this talk, I think, but my biggest thing is to set aside your fear and do all the things that you wish you could do or that you dream of doing, because they will remain a dream unless you actually do them. So that's my biggest advice.
I love that. Well, we will take that away. I think that repetition is a really important part, of any learning experience. So saying that one more time is not not a bad thing at all. And we receive it, and we appreciate so much you bringing that word to us in our conversation today. And thank you so much for all of the work that you do with color and flowers and pushing the limits and trying new things. It's something that is really inspirational, and I know is helping people get up and giving them energy to get moving and loving the world through flowers wherever it is that they are today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. And to all of you who are out there listening, we love you so much. And we just want to say thank you for all of the things that nobody says thank you for, like washing the buckets and sweeping the floor and taking the trash out and breaking down a lot of cardboard boxes, pulling weeds, all the things that are an important part of a magic experience that we get to give to people. That's something that really only we get to do. And so I just want to say thank you for all of those hidden behind the scenes things that you are working on and that you're doing that have not a whole lot to do with arranging flowers. Each one of those moments matters, especially whenever they're done in joy. So we thank you so much for those things, and we'll see you next time on the Team Flower Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode of the Team Flower Podcast, would you help us by leaving a rating and review? The more ratings and reviews, the easier it is for other flower lovers to find the podcast. Thanks for being a part of Team Flower and helping us build this dream together. We're so grateful.